Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Tuning the Bow, a parenting podcast about how best to disciple your kids. My name is Matthew Wilbanks, and I'm here with my good friend Tim Rose. Tim, how are you doing?
Well, Matt, as you know, I am slightly tired. We've had our Disciple Now weekend, what'll be, 2 weeks prior to when this episode comes out. But, man, had a good weekend, had a good time. And now I am in the midst of contemplating the fact that my kids are turning a year old at the end of this week. So,
yeah.
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah, it's incredible stuff how this whole age thing works.
And the worst part of it all is that not only am I realizing they're going to be a year old, but I get to come home at the end of this week with a brand new puppy for them. Because what could make my house much more calm than a puppy?
Hey, it could be worse. You could be getting a puppy and they are turning two.
True, or I could be getting two puppies. So, Matt, you're always here to let me look on the bright side of life.
Exactly. I try to, at least.
How are you doing, though, Matt?
Man, I'm good. I'm getting stuff ready for my church's 30th anniversary coming up, and we have a little gift basket that we're getting together. And so I've been working with my pastor trying to get all that done and, you know, getting ready for other things. We got RD now coming up at the end of next month, so I'm still trying to work out a couple kinks here and there, but overall just doing the little stuff here and there. My classes for seminary start up this week as of recording, and so I'm gonna be in the midst of it for the next 4 months or so.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Can I toot my own horn for 2 seconds on D now? And Matt, you will appreciate this as a fellow youth pastor. Mm. I had no leftover shirts, but there were not people who didn't get a shirt.
So you're telling me you ordered the exact amount?
And do you understand how hard that is, correct?
It's so stupid.
The Lord doth shine down. And we ordered the exact right amount of shirts. It's amazing. Now, in fairness and in honesty, I will be ordering one or two others because we put shirts up in places, and some of our parents want, you know, a shirt to put on a quilt for a teenager. But right. Actually ordered the right amount.
Yeah, I was about to say, you've got no extras, so like, I don't know what to do because every single event, you know, as youth ministers, as we work, there's always a few shirts left over that we kind of just like put away in a closet or cabinet or something, maybe to be pulled out in a year or so and go, why do I still have this? What does that feel like knowing you don't have to do that?
It's very strange. Now I'm supported by the fact that the year previous I had 75 leftover shirts. I'm still not, like, overall batting percentage is not good. But yeah, I was pretty proud of that. I mean, that was, of course, when you tell parents that, they're like, who cares? What idiot can't order enough shirts? And I'm like, you don't understand.
Oh, because people drop out at the last minute. People join at the last minute. All sorts of things happen.
I had 22 I had a net gain of 22 in the last week. I ordered those shirts 4 weeks ago. Weeks ago when I ordered, if you compare that number to now, or to, you know, the day of D now, there were 65 people that signed up in the middle.
Oh my gosh.
And I somehow managed to get the right number. It was.
And people say God isn't sovereign. Come on, man. Come on, man.
But yeah, so no, that was, you know, a minor win as a youth pastor. And I just told everyone, don't expect this ever again, because I know the Lord does not do this multiple times. Oh, no need for it. So,
Well, speaking of sovereign, that was sort of the theme of your D-Now weekend, and it's also going to be the theme of our episode this week. So, Tim, why don't you kind of explain a little bit more about what we're about to talk about?
Yeah, and I'll disclaimer here, you know, we'll put in the Southwestern Manual of Style citation of Richard Ross. because he wrote a curriculum called the RAIN curriculum, of which he did an RD now, and he preached on. And it all focuses on the idea of teaching students to understand Jesus as King. But what I want to posit today and what we want to talk about is just, hey, what are the impacts that would have on our families? Mm-hmm. Dr. Ross has thought of that, and our sermon on Sunday here was to that vein. But I want to begin with a different guy, and a guy by the name of A.W. Tozer. A.W. Tozer is a theologian who writes a book called The Knowledge of the Holy. And in that book, it's a very, very short book, deceptive in all ways, because you look at it, you know, when you buy the book and you go, I'll read this in 10 minutes. And it will take you much longer to read it than 10 minutes, I assure you. Mm. But he begins the book with the statement, what comes into our mind when we think about God, the first thing that comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And the idea is quite simple. That builds from that is that the way that we view God drastically changes the way that we understand the world, the way that we act, the way that we follow him in discipleship. And this is right along the same veins as Richard Ross is speaking about, talking about Jesus, is that we frequently misunderstand Jesus, misunderstand God. Hmm. And I think as parents, we're just, you know, gonna sit down for a second and be really honest. You know, Jesus is supposed to be the safety net that we fall on, the bailout option that we just make sure our kids know Jesus and it's gonna work. It's as if we've decided that rather than following any sort of recipe to get us to Christian kids, which would be showing them Christian decisions, things like that, we think if I just put Jesus in there, the dish is going to end up good. Mm. And, you know, Matt, you know, one of my joys in life outside of youth ministry is cooking meat particularly. Mm. And I can assure you that, you know, if you cook an entire 18-pound brisket, it's one of the most intensive meats to cook. If you cook it and you put all the spices in and you do everything perfectly, you think, but you don't let the thing rest for 2 hours, your brisket will be dry and terrible. Mm-hmm. It always is. But for some reason, we have this idea in parenting that, oh, okay, well, we can screw up everything, but if we get one thing right, well, then our kids are going to turn out right. I can also tell you, Matt, that even if you let the brisket rest, if you put spices on it that aren't designed for, if you put seafood spices on a brisket, it will not taste good.
No.
You will end up eating it going, why on earth did they put this on there? And so I want to posit this to us for discussion today of what would happen if we start viewing Jesus for say in this way. I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, it says this in verse 8, but to the Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of justice. You have loved righteousness and you hated lawlessness. This is why God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy and beyond your companions. In the beginning, Lord, you established the earth. The heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like clothing. You will roll them up like a cloak, and they will be changed like clothing. But you are the same, and your years will never end. What if the first thing that we see when we see Jesus is him seated at the right hand of God? Mm-hmm. By the way, bumping up to verse 3 of chapter 1 of Hebrews. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purification for sins, that's his time on earth, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hmm. So he became superior to the angels. And as you'll read in the rest of Hebrews, he becomes superior to everyone.
Right.
So the basis is that's the understanding of Jesus we need to have. So understanding that this is how we need to view him. We need to get rid of the view of Jesus just as a baby. We need to get rid of the view of him only being a young carpenter walking around. You know, we need to view Jesus as he currently is. I'm not saying that those aren't true, but let's view him as he is. Let's get rid of our viewpoints that he's just here to save us or bail us out in our parenting, but rather that he is king. And because he is king and he is Lord, then he needs to be in charge of everything. So upon that basis, the question really that follows is, how does that change our parenting? And I think there are many different aspects, but there are some that I think we really need to sit down and talk about for a minute. And the first one is, we've talked in this podcast about personal devotionals, about family devotional. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to not add a third, because I think it follows somewhere under both of them. But the third might be what I'd call the accidental family devotional. Mm. You may be saying, what do I mean by accidental family devotional? Well, what I'm saying is, what about the time where we come in and we start talking about about the scriptures to our kids, not because we find that there needs to be the organized time, but because it moves us so much that we've seen this about God. One of the things that Ross pointed out that I think is very, very knowing for us as parents is that if you, Dad, read something in your Bible in the morning when you're up before your family, and you are so changed by it. Maybe you read that passage I just read and you go, wow, Christ is seated at the right hand of majesty. And you come in and when your daughter or son wakes up later that morning before school, you say, hold on, come over here. I want you to read this. Matt, you may agree, disagree. I think you'll agree with me. That'll have greater impact than anything we do on a Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
That will dramatically impact the thought of our kids, because it's not just that Dad heard a podcast and heard these two guys who are somewhat smart and moderately good looking talking about what they should do and feels out of some sense of obligation that he should do it, but instead that this is coming now from the overflow of Dad's heart, from the overflow of Mom's heart. And what they've already experienced and read this morning about God, they must show them. Think about the beautiful things this teaches our children. Mm. We're getting away from some sort of religious obligation. We're moving to actual devotion.
Yeah.
And so I just posit that as, yes, we want you to have organized things. I think those are good. They show your kids that those things are important. But having some that just happen in the spur of the moment reminds them that what matters the most matters the most. What is most important is of first importance. And so we need to have that. Matt, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Are you anti dads talking about what they've read in their Bible studies?
No, as a matter of fact, again, I believe I've said it before, but my stepdad was the one who led me to the Lord. And so parents being involved and, you know, being involved in your kids' walk with the Lord is integral. Because, I mean, again, you look back at, again, to, you know, beat a dead horse. You know, we got to look at the Deuteronomy 6 and the parenting shemadel. That is the essence of what God is doing with the family. Is it, we have to be repeating scripture to our kids, and it could be something as simple. I mean, honestly, when I was in college, I really wanted to make sure my little brother knew the Lord and knew what he was learning at church and what I was learning at school. And I wanted to teach him about that. And so if I were to drive somewhere and he was with me, I wanted to take that opportunity with him to say, hey, man, you know, I learned this in Sunday school. I learned this at church the other day. I learned this when I was studying for class. And I just want to share it with you. I would do that from time to time. And as I've said before, my little brother now probably lives out his faith better than I did when I was his age. Because it's not saying, you know, I took the time because, you know, I was the one who needed to do that. But at the same time, that's what my parents are also doing with him. They're also talking about the Bible. They're talking about what they learned in church. They're talking about what they read. That's something my mom does all the time with me. When I call her, you know, I'm sitting here in my late 20s, and anytime I talk to my mom, she'll still talk about stuff that she read and how it's so interesting to her. It doesn't stop when your kids grow up and get out of the home. It's a long-term process that you're talking about scripture with your kids at all time, which then leads me to the sermon. I don't normally listen to sermons when I'm getting up, getting ready to get out for the day. And when I was in the shower this morning, I was listening to a Chuck Swindoll sermon called Handling the Scriptures Accurately. And this is one of the things he talked about that, Tim, you touched on. We have to read scripture, know what scripture says, and then repeat what we have learned correctly. And this is exactly the basis of what Dr. Richard Ross, who is an absolutely wonderful man of God. This is what he has.
Youth ministry.
Absolutely. This is what he's based his entire ministry off of, is learning scripture and portraying it accurately. And I had the opportunity to have him at MyD now last year. And that was one of the things he said, is he realized that the aspect of Jesus is king is not mentioned in a lot of churches today.
Yeah.
And I have to agree. That's not something I heard growing up. And I have had to change the way I teach to make sure people understand this. Right now, we're going through the book of John, and I'm focusing a lot on Jesus' humanity and how he was just an average guy, but he was more than that, because when you sit and you listen to what he said, he has such authority no other person has. And you have to think, why does he have this authority? It is because of what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, starting in verse 13. In the presence of God, who gives life to all, and of Christ Jesus, who gave a good confession before Pontius Pilate, I charge you to keep this command without fault or failure until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. God will bring this about in his own time. He, Jesus, is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power. Amen. That same message speaks to us today, that we need to proclaim Jesus' lordship, his highness, his majesty, all those, you know, big fancy words to you know, just talk about King Jesus. Because another thing A.W. Tozer mentions in his book is Jesus is currently sitting at the right hand of God. He is sitting on his throne. And a lot of times in our lessons to our kids, to our students, whoever it is, we kind of forget that. We forget where Jesus is. He's sitting right beside God the Father, enthroned in heaven, and he is still watching over us, praying for us, working so that we may get these great and glorious gifts. Why? It's because he has the power and authority to do so. And it's not some random chance. The kingship of Jesus is so often overlooked. We forget there's a reason Jesus said, I now have all authority under heaven and on earth. It's because he does.
Yeah.
And we tend to forget that. We tend to forget that because we think of him as friend Jesus or brother Jesus, or to steal Dr. Ross and his RAIN curriculum, EMT Jesus, to where there's a dire situation or some sort of emergency. And we're like, all right, Jesus, I'm short on rent this month. Or, all right, Jesus, my child is about to take their test for the first time. I pray that you, and that's the only time we talk to Jesus. And that is completely false. It goes against scripture. And it's, again, we have to take the right understanding of who Christ is by simply reading the Bible, which, again, nicely ties back to what we talked about in the last episode.
Well, and I would encourage you, parents, like, don't even just leave the things that you're talking to your kids about, even just at the Bible. Like, if you hear a song, a worship song, as you're driving to work, man, bring it up. Show your kids the different aspects of Christian life that you involve yourself in. When you have someone at work that goes through something difficult, or perhaps you're sitting there and maybe God forbid, you know that the Lord is calling you to share your faith with that person. And bring that up and say, hey, family, you know, I just want us to talk about this, and I want us to pray for my coworker, Paul, because he needs to know who Christ is. And I know God's put me here to do it.
Now, Tim, are you telling me that his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness?
Only on Sundays.
Okay, cool. Just double checking.
No, but I mean, like we bring these things up, and we you know, we joke about that, but what I sat there as an adult, as a youth pastor, you know, I sat there and I said, man, when I'm making decisions inside my house, whether it be discipline or what we're gonna do next or whatever, and as I'm thinking about it, and as a pastor, I like to think that I do make many decisions completely in accordance with God's word and with his will. Mm. Like, I mean, that is part of our calling and our task. But as I thought about it, when I'm thinking about that, am I just thinking, what does it, you know, God expect me? Or am I thinking, man, what does it look like if I walk this decision into the throne room? Mm. You know, it's difficult to even try and describe what that throne room would look like. But, you know, my mind goes to, you know, TV shows that I've seen or things or places that I've personally been, you know, that are completely ornate. Mm. And I mean, when we were in Europe a few years back in Italy, going around to some of the places in Italy, like, these are insanely ornate. And you've got these beautiful palaces effectively built. We went to a castle in Germany and it was just gorgeous. And I think, okay, let's even put him there. Now, how does this decision feel? How does this decision really work as I make it? And, you know, I think we have to ask ourselves that, and parents, we'll just, you know, get down to some brass tacks here, but we've got to ask ourselves, okay, what's most important in my life right now? Where does Jesus fit in my life, and how do I view him when it comes to the decisions I make about certain events or activities that my kids do that may or may not help them get a job or get into college? Mm. And you know what I'm putting my sights in on. I'm putting it in on sports, and I'm putting it in on band, and I'm putting it in on extracurriculars. We all love them, and by all means, like, Matt, you played soccer growing up. You were in band. I was a baseball player, and I was in band and orchestra. Like, we did those. We see value in them, and no one's debating if there's value. Mm-hmm. But and this is speaking as a youth pastor, is speaking as someone who's around it a lot. Now, what happens when that coach says, well, here's the deal. If you really want to get somewhere, we're going to need to be out on the weekends 6 weeks of your summer. Mm-hmm. What happens when the cheer coach says, hey, look, here's the deal. Cheer camp is the same week as church camp. And if you don't show up, then your daughter doesn't make it. What happens whenever the band director says, well, here's the deal. We're going to expect that your student's going to be here on Wednesday night. And you know what? We've got this trip that we're doing, and we could come back Saturday night later, but we're going to stay, and we're going to come back Sunday. Now, nobody says that these are easy conversations, but the questions, what I'm more posing to you as parents is, are you even asking yourself when you agree to that and you say, yeah, that's fine, whatever. Are you thinking about how the king seated on the throne views that decision? Mm. because as we love to say in the Baptist Christian culture, that what do we call Sunday? It's the Lord's Day. Have you contemplated what it's like when you tacitly allow your student to be gone 26 weeks out of 52? What the king thinks?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because and maybe part of this is because we're Americans and we don't have a king in the United States. We put buffoons in Washington, D.C. and they pop out stuff that half of us don't agree with. But that's not how you treat a king.
Right.
That you don't tell the king what to do. He tells you what to do.
And the wonderful thing about King Jesus is the fact that he is always willing to listen. Hebrews 4, therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but the one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, listen, I really want you to listen to this, because I want to ask this question about what Tim just said. Have you talked to your king about it? Whatever the decision is, should we go on vacation? Should I make my, you know, kid miss out on football and take him to church camp? Or even something as simple as, should I start talking to my kids more often about Jesus? Or should I tell them, should I start limiting them? And, you know, when they play on their video games, any sort of question you have, this is a big point. Is have you asked your king about it? Because verse 16, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need. If you have no idea what you're doing, join the club. The wonderful thing about God is that he opens his throne room to us, that we may go before him and ask him, Lord, what do I do in this scenario? How do I best lead my kid in this way? And you know what? He's going to close some doors and he's going to open some doors. And it's always going to be different, because God is going to pick at what you and your kids need most. And sometimes it's less football. It's less cheerleading. It's less volleyball. It might even be less band. It might even be less time hanging out with friends and more time at home talking about the Bible. None of these things are good answers that are just like, man, my kid's really going to love it when I tell him he can't play football or baseball this year. Or when I tell my daughter, no, you can't go to the mall because you haven't spent enough time in the Bible this week. Those are hard decisions. Those are hard things to tell your kids. But these are also some things that my parents told me, that I wasn't able to do certain things because my attitude was awful. I was not in scripture. I was not doing what I needed to do. And I would make terrible decisions. And my parents said, you can't do that. Why? Because you've been a butt this week.
Like in my life, I mean, my parents told me, hey, you're not going to play football. We're not wasting our summers letting you play football. We're not wasting your brain, which, I mean, who knows if that's still there or not. But we're not wasting that time. And in the moment, I hated it. Because for me, that's what I wanted to do. I don't if you could see me, those who are listening, I don't own a neck. So I just have a chest and a head. There's nothing connecting them. And so, like, being a linebacker in football, I wasn't even all that worried. I'm built for that. But my dad did say, well, look, you're not going to waste time going to football practices and things like that. Instead, you're going to go on a mission trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there and thought, Dad, this is okay, fine, whatever. Well, guess which one is far more influential in my life? Even if I weren't a youth pastor, it would still be the fact that the mission trip would be.
Mm-hmm.
It defines more of who I am. It allowed me to understand myself as a missionary. So, you know, for some parents, you may be saying, God may be sitting here saying, look, I need you to not take your second vacation of the year and instead go on a family mission trip. I need you to sacrifice time for me. Matt, you said earlier, and I agree, like, You don't have to know what you're doing, but let me make this quite clear, parents. You do have to walk in the throne room and get your marching orders.
Yeah. Yep.
We don't ever expect for parents to be 100% ready to go every single day, but you ought to be walking in that throne room and putting your face down and saying, holy, 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 and waiting for him to say, all right, arise and go, and here's what you're doing.
Yep.
And this impacts so many decisions that we make, and it impacts so many things that we have. But one of the other ways I want to talk about this before we're done, and Matt gives us our resource of the day and things like that, is I also want you to understand the attitude that this should bring to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the songs that we sang this week was a song that I had not heard before, but that's not saying much. It was called Gratitude, and I'm not going to read the whole song to you. I just want to read you the chorus. So I throw up my hands and I praise you again and again, because all I have is a hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for my heart to sing hallelujah. And as I sit there and I sang those words, and I was holding both my boys at one point, and I'm singing this, and I'm sitting there going, how often do I walk into my marriage or into discipline or walk into work with the idea that as a man of God, I am something strong and something built up? And how often do I walk in just saying, you know what? I am nothing compared to my King. But I have graciously been invited into his presence this morning. And out of that time in his presence, I would like to live the rest of the day in an overflow of what's just happened.
Yeah.
That rather than having disagreements with a spouse over minor decisions that, if we're honest, don't really matter. Instead, I say, my king is seated on the throne, so it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's given me the marching order. And frankly, this argument isn't part of the marching order. So I'm going to let what needs to be disagreed, we'll go your way. We'll do this. We'll easily come to an agreement on this, because the marching order says this job has to get done today.
Right.
The marching order says my coworker has to hear the gospel today, that I am a missionary to him today, and that will bring the king honor and glory if I do that. Mm-hmm. We are designed for the purpose of bringing him all the glory. So I'm going to throw aside my pride and instead say, you know what? I'm going to parent out of humility, because ultimately what we're doing as we're parenting is we're not trying to make them fearful of us. We're not trying to make them respect us or bring us honor or even frankly make our name known or make it matter. Mm-hmm. That's garbage. That's reactionary parenting. What instead we're trying to do is say, son, daughter, I want you to grow up at the feet of the throne.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to keep bringing you there. I'm going to show you why it's good. I'm going to have my life be a model to you of how that is completely changed by sitting at the feet of King Jesus. And then whenever you have accepted him as Lord and Savior, you and I are going to go there together again and again and again and again and again. And we're going to cry, holy, holy, holy to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What if we parent in that way, with that humility?
Yep.
Matt, you can comment on that, of course, but please give us our resource of the day.
My sermon. Yeah. And real quick before I give it, again, the best thing to do is your marching orders are already in Scripture, and it's like the handwritten note that's got the little wax seal on it, all nice and dandy. You know, it's probably written in 6 copies of Scripture, which I think is like the average number of Bibles in the American household. So when you get into Scripture and you begin to read it, you'll find your marching orders, and you'll also find out who God really is and who Jesus really is. And so moving forward with that, the resource I have for this week is a brand spanking new book by my favorite author, Paul David Tripp. And it is called Reactivity, how the gospel transforms our actions and reactions. And I thought this would fit pretty well with what we're talking about because of how he talks about the Twitter age and how it is very easy to put something out there and then just get mauled by nasty comments, some of who claim to be Christian. And the idea of his book is saying, if you claim to be Christian, what you have to do is you have to do and say things Christianly. You have to actually live out your faith even behind a screen and a keyboard. And so he'll go through a lot of different ways, and not just how you can interact social media-wise, but how you can lead your family to live a life that the love of God intersects every part of it. It is absolutely fantastic. Once you read this book by Paul David Tripp, you'll look at his library in the front couple pages, and you'll buy all the rest of them because he is such a wonderful author. And then, of course, I'll also put in the book that Tim mentioned at the beginning, The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. These are both really short books. Paul Tripp's book, you'll get through a little faster because it's not as heady sometimes, but the A.W. Tozer book is good for your sanctification. Yeah, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to lead your family to the throne of King Jesus, and always continue to go back to make sure you are doing what he's supposed to. So, Tim, what are your final thoughts?
Yeah, I'll just echo that statement on the A.W. Tozer book. It's designed to be read by just the regular people, and give you a little bit more knowledge of King Jesus. But yeah, just encourage your parents, you know, get to the point where your sharing of your faith and your walk with Christ is out of the abundance of just goodness that God has given you. Yeah. It will have tremendous impact on your parents. And of course, shout out to Matt's mom for giving good presents, even though he doesn't appreciate them.
Whatever, dude.
Go, Matt's mom!
All right, well, that's all the time we have for this episode, so we will see y'all later.
Bye, Mrs. Lomac.
Yeah, whatever, dude.